Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Dr. Meg Mill. She's a functional medicine practitioner, best-selling author, podcast host, and speaker. In her virtual functional medicine practice, she works with patients worldwide to heal the root cause of their health struggles through advanced diagnostic testing and personalized support. With her 2 decades of clinical experience in conventional and functional medicine, she can help people improve their health naturally while still understanding and respecting conventional practice protocols. She's particularly passionate about helping people end headaches and migraines, increase energy, and restore mental clarity without drugs or overwhelming protocols with her proven EAT method. In today's podcast, we are getting into hormonal and all types of migraines. If you or someone you love suffers from headaches or migraines, this is the episode for you. Please enjoy. Welcome to the Kakatibi Podcast, your source for all things health, happiness, and beauty. Through advanced diagnostic testing and personalized support. With her 2 decades of clinical experience in conventional and functional medicine, she can help people improve their health naturally while still understanding and respecting conventional practice protocols. She's particularly passionate about helping people end headaches and migraines, increase energy, and restore mental clarity without drugs or overwhelming protocols with her proven EAT method. In today's podcast, we are going into hormonal and all types of migraines. If you or someone you love suffers from headaches or migraines, this is the episode for you. Please enjoy. Hi, Dr. Meg. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into everything, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and your educational background?
Yes, absolutely. So I started out as a PharmD. So I got a doctorate in pharmacy and then went on to do a residency in ambulatory care. And so I worked in clinics in the hospital and different venues to really do medication management. And when we were working on, one of the things I noticed over years of practicing is that people were just on so many medications. And I knew the protocols. I knew why we were on all these, people were being put on all these medications. But I really started to see people just really survive. They weren't really thriving. They weren't necessarily getting better. They were just stuck in this, okay, now we have another medication. And often that causes side effects for another thing. And really without the treatment of what was actually going on, sometimes just managing symptoms. And so that made me, along with some of like my own health struggles, I was having a lot of GI issues. I was seeing gastroenterologists and not getting the answers that I needed, made me take a shift. And I really had always had more of a preventative approach, more of a holistic approach anyway, in my own personal life. And I just really thought this, something needs to change. Like, we don't need to just keep band-aiding these issues. We need to really see a change. So that's when I went back and really started to learn and get work on certifications in functional medicine. So I really flipped, really did almost like a true flip, and really then started to practice as a functional medicine practitioner, where we work on really finding the root cause of your health issues. So instead of really just taking those medications and putting them on in like more of a band-aid approach, we really look for the connections. We want to look at your imbalances in your body. We want to balance your hormones. We want to make sure that your gut health is okay. We want to make sure you're absorbing your right nutrients and all of those things, so your body can really naturally heal. And then I see this transformation where people really do feel better. It's amazing.
And have you seen a greater increase in the want from the general population for functional medicine?
I do. Yes. I think that it's really coming. People are starting to become aware. I think when I first started practicing, it was funny because I was in this group of other people that were professionals, and I was saying, everyone had to say what they did. And I came in and I said, I'm a functional medicine practitioner. And everyone, what is functional medicine? And I was like, uh-oh, I have a problem. No one even knows what I'm doing. But I think as I'm like, I really have to get out there and explain what it is. But in that meantime, I do think I'm surrounded by it. I follow other people that are practicing also. I'm in a community, but I do find that more and more people really want answers. We don't want to just accept the status quo. We don't want to just say, okay, we're just going to do this. We're just going to take the medication and ignore what's really going on under. I think that people are wanting to be more empowered. I think that's another piece that I'd work with people, is empowering them to have the understanding to really feel their best and take control of their own health.
And I've had many functional medicine practitioners on my podcast. And I just think the way that you approach things functionally is so much better than just a pill for every ill and just like 15 pills. This one deals with this side effect from that one and so forth. It's just a much better way. And people actually seem to get better quicker.
Yes. No, and that's what I always say when I'm working with people. I said, we both want the transformation. We really want to see that, see you really actually feel and transform your health.
So why are you so particularly passionate about working with people who suffer from headaches and migraines? Is that something that you suffered with?
So actually, surprisingly, I have had migraines, but not in the chronic way as a lot of the people I work with. So like I said, came into functional medicine for my gut health personally. But what I started noticing and I work with a lot of women. And when we work together, I have them fill out this detailed intake questionnaire and symptom questionnaire before we even meet the first time. And I noticed this pattern. So either people were coming to me with headaches and migraines, or when they were normalizing it. So they were coming to me for other reasons, maybe even like underlying gut health, be from taking Advil for all these years that was ripping their gut up because of the headaches. But they were filling out these forms and they were saying like, oh, I have weekly headaches or I have migraines every month. They weren't even feeling like that should be a problem because they were so used to it. And they were just being told there was nothing they could do and they just needed to take medication. And so I started thinking, and then we would actually work together and they would say, I can't even believe this is life-changing. My headaches are gone. I've been suffering for so many years. I never thought it was possible. And so I started to see this trend. And so it made me really dive into really focusing on being able to help people. Because I think it's something that is normalized and they are often told that people are told that you just have to live with this. There's nothing really you can do except for taking pain medication. And that's just not the case.
Yes. And I have suffered with migraines ever since puberty, mostly just hormonal migraines right before my period. But maybe a couple years ago, I started getting histamine triggered type migraines if I eat certain foods, especially because I know histamine intolerance is higher right before your period. That's what I heard. And yeah, so it's just so confusing because you're told that's not going to affect your migraines, that it's just like a hormone. It's just a normal thing. All women have it. Just take your pill and forget about it or go get some prescription migraine medicine. And then you look at the side effects and you're like, this is worse than the migraine. I don't think I want that.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of the medications that are used do daily make you feel worse even than having it. So then whenever people can be migraine free and get off the medication, that's really really changes your quality of life for sure.
Yes. Are there any foods that contribute to migraines?
Yeah. So you mentioned histamine. So I think that is a major one for a lot of people. There's different reasons that histamines can cause problems. And one of them is an enzyme deficiency called DAO. So DAO helps us process histamines. And when people you can have a genetic deficiency, you can have like a genetic SNP that affects that. You can have other reasons, but you may not break down the histamine as well. And so that's confusing because like you probably felt when you were getting into this, things that are healthy, like avocados, or they can be high in histamine and they're not always foods that you think. I think one of the biggest things when it comes to food and really migraines and headaches is that they're not always foods that you think you should avoid. We know there's talk about the sugar and processed foods, which they contribute, but we also need to think of things like the histamine foods, which can be healthy. We also know that foods like salicylates, and those are foods like citrus. So some people can have problems with oranges or lemons or things with salicylates in them. Foods with tyramine, think of cured aged foods, nitrates, which would be more like your hot dogs, things like that. We know aspartame is another thing from diet sodas, things in that. And then MSG is in a lot of prepared foods. So some of them are more, you would think, okay, maybe I should be avoiding those, but then other ones are healthy. The other thing that kind of comes into play is threshold. Also, when it comes to these foods, it can be combination of foods or it can be threshold. So like you could eat, I say I'm going to use wine because I feel like this is one that comes up a lot because wine has tyramine in it. And you can have a glass. So some people say, I can have a glass of wine sometimes and not get a migraine. But then other times I have a glass of wine and no one's going to come on. But I don't think it's the wine because I can drink that sometimes. But it still may be a factor because it could also be the wine with some aged cheese or in a combination. And sometimes you're just hitting that threshold of putting you over the edge. So we have to look at different components. We look at the foods, we look at the thresholds, we look at the combinations. So one thing I have people that everyone can start to do, your listeners can start to print out a blank calendar. And then if you get a migraine or headache, write down the foods that you ate within the last 48 hours, because you can have delayed reactions sometimes. And that can even make it more confusing because it could be what you ate yesterday, not today. So it's really putting all those pieces together and then start to see, like, is there a pattern?
Yes. And I did notice for me personally that before my period, I cannot eat anything with histamines. But right after my period, I'm good for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I can have as much as I want. It's so weird. So then it's really hard to know, was it this food? Because how come I can eat tons of it this week and none of it the next?
Yeah, so it makes it tricky. And it's really about dialing in. And there's an estrogen component to the connection with the histamine too. So that can be why the cycle, it matters. So even in that calendar, you can write down the other things that have people when they do that is write also down like the time of month, even your stress levels, your sleep patterns, were you dehydrated that day? If you put all those pieces together, it can start to give you some clues as to like what combinations of things are triggering you.
How would someone know if their migraines were hormonal?
So generally speaking, when you're someone who suffers with hormonal migraines, you generally get them either the week before your period or during ovulation. And you notice that they're coming at the same time every month. So if you're someone who gets a migraine every month and you're like, okay, I know. Some people can say, I know I'm going to get my period because I got the migraine, like you're saying before. And the reason is that happens is there's the two biggest hormonal components for migraines are estrogen dominance and a rapid change in hormones. And we become estrogen. So what we need to do is we need to figure out why we're estrogen dominant. So when you have high levels of estrogen, then you can have a release of prostaglandins, and prostaglandins can be inflammatory and can cause the migraine. But we need to really dial in and see where your imbalances in your hormones are. So I do say with hormones, it's best to test, not guess, because you could be, are you estrogen dominant because you have low progesterone and your estrogen levels are fine? Or one thing I also see often is that people can also have fine estradiol levels. So estradiol is what you would have checked in your blood if you just went and got a blood draw. But in your estradiol could be fine, but you might have higher of different metabolites. So the way you process your hormones and detoxify them, when we think of estrogen, you want to think of use it and lose it. You want to have enough in your body that you're really using it and getting the effects, but you want to be able to process it out. So we need to be able to detoxify it in the right way. And if it's going down the wrong pathways in our, like when we're detoxifying it, it can actually have these metabolites that act more strongly than the estrogen itself. So we also need to make sure that we're metabolizing it correctly and getting it out of the body. So all of those things come into play. And so it's a good idea to really get your hormones tested. But what you also can do right now is really start to look at your estrogen in your environment. So we're surrounded by what we call xenoestrogens, and they're everywhere. So we're not thinking, oh, there's estrogen in my makeup. There's estrogen in the receipt that I pick up from the grocery store. There's estrogen, you know. So we're actually getting levels of estrogen outside of our bodies. Yeah. So
yes.
Making some of those changes can be impactful too.
Yeah. I do know about the estrogen. I do have estrogen dominance because I have really high testosterone and that converts into more estrogen.
Yes. And that's another factor. Yes.
Yes.
So you take like aromatase inhibitors to try to block that too?
Yes, I do. And I've noticed like, why isn't my estrogen going down? I'm not with my skincare products, my environment, everything. I try to make sure there's no estrogens or estrogen disruptors. And then I just found out it's in your clothes. And now I'm like, oh, another thing.
I know. It can feel overwhelming, can it? It is. Oh, gosh. So and I tell people, the other thing it can feel is expensive. So because it is, it's okay. You know what? Now makeup can be expensive. Think products. Just switch out one at a time. If you're someone who needs like a place to start, just take one product at a time and switch it out to something that is clean. And that you can always go to the EWG Skin Deep site to check out your products too. That's a helpful place to go.
Yes. Another thing is I notice when I buy cheap furniture, conventional mattresses, and there's like that off-gas VOCs in the air, or perfumes, if anyone has perfumes around me.
Yes.
all of those things, not only do they raise my estrogens, but they also give me sometimes migraines.
And since I run a program specifically for people suffering from headaches and migraines. It's a group program. And we were actually just talking about that in our last meeting. Because there's chemicals often in the scent. So people are generally that have migraines are more sensitive to scents and more sensitive to a lot of chemicals too. You can all be in the same room. So sometimes people are like, oh, this is bothering me, but it doesn't bother anyone else in my family. But we all have different levels of sensitivity to things too. So really paying attention. Do you ever do essential oils?
Certain ones I can do, but certain ones also give me a migraine. Yeah.
So that's another option sometimes people can find if you want a scent, but you can't do the perfume, you can't do the candles, we don't want any of those because of the sensitivity and the chemicals. Then sometimes that's an option too. I know even putting that in the holiday season, putting the water with some cinnamon sticks and oranges and cloves and just getting a natural scent that way can be another way to replace the candles.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever talked about this, but I find that if I put plants that get rid of formaldehyde or VOCs in all the rooms, it's so much better, much yes. more than even an air purifier.
Okay, so you find the plants more helpful than the air purifier. Okay, I've never yes. done a study on that's an interesting concept, the difference in, because I do often recommend getting the air purifiers. I know that when I first got mine, my husband said to me, oh, we don't need this. We have a furnace filter. We don't, and I'm like, nope, I'm getting it. We're putting it in the bedrooms. And seeing those, when you see the filters, I have brought them up the first time, I'm like, look at all what's still coming out. I mean, they make a huge difference too, but the plants. Now, do you even keep plants do you keep them in every room then?
Yeah, I keep them in the bedroom on all the windowsills. I have all these, and it's very hard because I have cats, so I have to find the cat safe ones deal with this too.
Uh-huh.
But I put them there, and I'm telling you, I got one piece of furniture. I didn't realize it was formica or whatever. It's the off gas, and I couldn't even go into that room. So I'm like, nobody can go into that room until it off gases, and then leave all the windows open. And then yes. I just bought two plants and put them there. The next day, the smell was completely gone.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I'm like, the air purifier didn't do this.
No, yes. Is there any plant or specific plants that you're using?
You can look it up. There's a bunch of different plants that specifically do that. I think they're amazing. I have now become a plant person because of them, because they help so much. They're in all the rooms.
Yes, that's great. That is something. I know the benefits of the plants and the oxygenation, but I haven't actually used them specifically for this modality. So yes, I'm going out after this. I'm going to go buy. I'm going to go buy some of those plants too myself.
Yes, and I also like to put it in the kitchen for any off-gassing from.
Yes, yeah. It's funny. This is a little funny side that whenever. Something, if you overcook or something comes off, I can hear my air filters are they're programmed to just change as needed. And you just start to hear the air filters go off and you're like, oh gosh, it shows you what's in the air, even if you can't smell it or feel it yourself.
Oh, this is a funny thing, but mine go off if somebody passes gas by them.
Oh no.
So it tells on them.
Got to be careful, right?
Yeah. But that means it's working.
Yes, exactly. Modern day sensors. Yes, nice.
What are some other things we can do to maybe ease the burden to chemical sensitivities and things like that?
Yeah. So we talked about air filters. We talked about the plants. You want to just look at cleaning up your environment. So we also know some heavy metals can trigger migraines and headaches. So you want to look at making sure that is really evaluated. I think we're all aware of lead-based paint. Cadmium can cause migraines. So what you also want to do is really evaluate. One of the things that can happen with heavy metals is that they can actually show up later. So something with lead in it, but you could have been exposed to lead at a younger age. And then sometimes if you're a woman, it's often stored in the bones. So when you get older and your bone density changes, you could be having symptoms later in life that you're not even exposed to now. So really aware of some of that, some of the exposure, maybe do some heavy metal testing, some detoxification. So those are all good things that help too. And then we also want to look at just allergens in the environment, things we talked about, xenoestrogen. So switching over, I think one of the biggest things that you can actually do too when it comes to the endocrine disruptors is just taking the simple switch of your plastic containers to glass. because, you know, the BPA is in all the plastic containers, and then we put, a lot of people put them in the dishwasher. You're heating them in the microwave. You're, and then they're breaking down and they're leaching into your food. So then you're eating the components of this BPA. So I think just taking that, if you're like, I think that's one of the first things, if you're looking for one thing to change in this regard, is switch out your containers and use glass containers to store your food.
And one thing I'd like to mention is you can use glass jars, let's say old pasta jars, if you don't want to buy all glass Tupperware, whatever it's called. So that's something that I do.
We even drink out of those mason jars too. Well, my kids will drink out of those. You just keep them around. You can repurpose them for anything. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you don't, like, I do think sometimes it can feel overwhelming. And that, I guess that is a good point. Like, there's so many ways we can just do little things that decrease our toxic burden, bring the exposome down. And we don't have to go crazy. You can do one thing at a time. Over time, each step is going to help you.
And how does stress play a role in migraines? One thing I'm thinking of, does it also raise histamines? Is that a thing?
Yeah, stress is, you know, your adrenal. So when we're looking at our indirectly, so when we're looking at our hormonal axis, it's called an HPATG axis. So you have your hypothalamus, your pituitary, your adrenals, your thyroid, and then your gonads, which are your estrogen, progesterone, things like that. And so there's a couple, since the cortisol is higher on that axis than your estrogen and your progesterone, when you have a lot of stress, you actually can really create some of that estrogen. There's a couple different ways. So one of the things that can happen is we get what's called a progesterone steal, because cortisol and progesterone share a similar hormonal pathway. Cortisol is a more prominent hormone, so it's going to use that pathway, and it's almost like indirectly lowers your progesterone, causing you to be estrogen dominant. So that's a component there when we're talking about the estrogens and the histamine. Another thing that can happen is when we get this, so we have two different nervous systems. You have your parasympathetic nervous system and your sympathetic nervous system. So your parasympathetic is your rest and digest. That's where you want to stay, hang out most of the time. And your sympathetic is your fight or flight. And that's, we're supposed to, in our like physiological history, supposed to run. I see a lion, I jump in, I run, my blood goes to my limbs, I call, you know, it's gone, I'm safe, I come back, I live in the parasympathetic. But many of us are living in that sympathetic all the time. We have, like, you know, so much going on, we have a ton to do, and we're living there, and then our cortisol is really affecting our adrenals, our cortisol is going up. Another component is that stress isn't just emotional. So biological, physiological stress can also be a factor. So when pain, when you have a migraine, pain is an independent stressor. So we have stress on our body, which can increase our cortisol levels, which can indirectly increase our prolactin levels, and that increases pain sensitivity. So sometimes you get stuck in this chain of pain where, you know, your pain's increasing, your stress is increasing your pain, and we need to get out of the cycle. So we need to work on things to bring our emotional stress down and our physiological stress down. And I think it's individual. Some of the things to bring your physiological stress down, you need to like work on biologically, like maybe your underlying gut infections or different things that are causing inflammation. But as far as our emotional stress, you find modalities that work for you. Take that time. It's hard. We're busy. Take that time out of your day to do some deep breathing. You know, our breath can actually bring us back into the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's like a great tool we have all the time. It's just that sometimes, unless you're practiced at it, you can't use it when you're anxious. It's because you're already in that state. So when we're already hyped up, we're already in the sympathetic nervous system, unless you take those times out to practice, it's not as accessible to really make the difference.
Yeah, I think that's what I do wrong. I only remember those things when it's happening.
Yes. And that you're not alone. That happens a lot. And so then it's like when it's happening, you're like, okay, now I need to deep breathe, but you're not practiced at it. So it's like, oh, that doesn't even work. But when you take 3 minutes, three times a day out and just sit, close your eyes and do the deep breaths, what you'll actually notice that then when you are stressed and your body's used to it, it's, oh, okay, I can actually calm myself. And you can physically feel yourself calming down. Meditation, there's so much data supporting meditation, gratitude journaling, even connecting with nature. There's so many things you can do. It's just really finding the right ones that resonate with you.
I want to talk to you a little bit about food because this is something that I deal with.
Okay.
So if I have something that's even slightly off, maybe it's a little age, maybe it's like a little old, like a leftover or something like that. So it would be higher in histamines. I can smell this is a little off. And then I'm like, I don't want to have that. But then my husband's like, I just paid all this money for it. It's fine. It's fine. You're just crazy. You can't smell if something, this is brand new from, how do you know this? And sure enough, I will then get a migraine. And then he might get like a little stomach upset, but it's very quick for him. It's no big deal for him. Me, I could be 3 days with a migraine until everything fully escapes me. And I'm just wondering, when you have these migraines, are you more sensitive to smells that it could be just slightly off?
I think sometimes your body's intuitive. Actually, I just was on with a patient this morning that was, we were talking literally about this exact thing, because you have aversions to things sometimes for a reason. So sometimes even people, before they know, like when they have a food allergy, before they know that they're really getting these strong symptoms, I'm like, oh, I just don't like it. You don't even want it, because your body is naturally telling you that you don't want it. And so you would know probably from watching your histamines that histamine grows in food. So even if it's not a food that's a high histamine food, leftovers have histamines. So you, if you have migraines, you want to eat your leftovers within 24 hours. You don't want to let them go for a few days because you're just growing histamines in them, even if it's not a high histamine food. So I think that, yes, I don't know that there's like a necessary, like a smell. I think maybe people that are sensitive have a more heightened sensitivity to things and can smell maybe to a greater degree than other people. So you have that more sensitivity, but your body is also, there's an intuitiveness that shows that you don't want this, that you know that it's going to be something that's going to affect you. So you don't want to eat it.
Yeah, I get that at restaurants too. So I don't know how they cooked it or if it's fresh or not. And I'll go to the same restaurant, order the same food. I get it. And I'm like, it's off today. And they're like, just eat. It's fine. It looks great. And everybody else smells it. They're like, it smells wonderful. What's wrong with you? It's great. And then I have it. And then I get sick every time.
So you know when you get, so as soon as the meal is brought out, you know that that was, you're able to sense that is, oh, like that it, something's different. And when every time you sense it, you do get the migraine.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So your body's telling you that you shouldn't. Yeah. I say, listen, I say definitely listen, because you're getting that. It was in a different relation that we were having the conversation, but you do, your body can sense, hey, this is not something that's going to work for me. This is something that I don't want. And so often you'll say, okay, yeah, there's a sense that I shouldn't eat this, that I don't like it. So I would say, hey, you know what? I have my own intuition about my food. Could you just get me something else? Okay. That's a much, with your husband, you can say, I'm just not going to eat it. With at the restaurant, that's trickier, because it's like, what do you say? Okay. The meal you brought me isn't good, yeah, but you don't, like, know.
This is a $100 steak. What are you talking about? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sorry, but I can't have, I'm not going to eat it. And then you don't know. That's the thing. When we're not cooking our own food, we don't know how it's prepared, how long it's been sitting, what they do. They pre-cook and warm it? Or are they cooking everything fresh? How long is the meat been there? That is a hard thing. So there is something, have you ever used something called histamine block?
Yes, I have. And I really wish it worked.
Okay, that does not work for you. Okay.
I use a lot of it. If it says use 4, I'll use 10 and it still won't work.
Gotcha. Okay. Because that's something that helps some people. If you're listening, like if you're someone who is sensitive to histamine, that helps with the DAO process, that histamine, it helps boost that DAO enzyme really to break it down. So that some people can, I'll tell some people who are sensitive to just keep that in your purse or something. And then if you're out to dinner and you don't know, take some of those. But that, so you're not even finding any relief there.
Yeah. One thing that I think help is, I did a gut test and they found the overgrowth of one bacteria was very high.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is resistant to like all these antibiotics, but you can take, I think it was berberine and oil of oregano. So I was taking those. And when I took those, I didn't get headaches if I had something that smelled a little bit off. So I'm like, might be the gut infection.
I think you probably need to look at the gut, because this is another interesting thing when we're talking about the gut. There are certain bacteria that also are histamine producing. So you can have different, when you're looking at some of those stool tests, what we'll do is often, did you have a stool test done? Is that where they saw? Yeah. So when we're looking at the stool test, then we're looking at different microbes, and there are certain ones that actually depend. We're talking about DAO, we're talking about all these different things, but if you have those bacteria, they can also be producing extra histamine. So you may have been killing them off and getting that load down. But then once you, if you didn't do it long enough, maybe they're growing back. I have actually seen people, I had someone who had to be on like really strong medication for 20 years to control itching, like full body itching, that was on a strong medication, tried everything, shots, all this stuff. And here we found an underlying histamine producing bacteria, healed the gut, and he was able to be medication free, never had it again. It is when you really do some of these things and dig in, it's life changing.
Yeah. I did find before I found out about that when I went on a carnivore diet, all my migraines went away completely.
Okay.
All my symptoms. So I can even have something that's slightly off and no problems. It was so weird, but that's not sustainable.
Yes. Did you ever, another thing we haven't really got into with the food, because we talked about the specific triggers, but another thing that can happen is food sensitivities. So doing a food sensitivity test and finding out exactly, because those are inflammatory responses. So you get those IgG antibodies, they cause the inflammation, they cause the immune response, and that can also trigger. Did you ever do that? You know, when, because maybe you were eliminating foods that you were sensitive to when you were doing that carnivore diet.
I did the Acyrex Labs food sensitivity test. Everything came back in the red. Everything except for dairy, eggs. And something else. But like the things that most people have sensitivities to. Yes. I was in the green. Oh, and gluten. And all the types of gluten, all the parts of gluten, all green. It was so weird.
You were the opposite of most people. Yes. Yes.
So I'm like definitely leaky gut.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So healing, those are all components. So like the leaky gut, that can contribute. So it seems like you're figuring out, but all of these, putting all of these pieces together and then really dialing into, okay, where am I getting them? Another two other simple things that you can start to monitor free are your hydration and your sleep. So dehydration is an independent risk factor, not getting enough sleep, not getting good quality sleep. So those are also other things that are just making those changes in your life that are easy to do. Pile up. Like it's not just someone might be like, oh, my sleep isn't going to make or break, but it's all, it accumulates. So it's like when you're not sleeping well, then your melatonin can't go up and your cortisol's not rock bottom at night. And then it affects, and then when your cortisol's off at night, it affects your circadian rhythm and it affects like all, so it's all these like downstream things that can keep happening. So it's putting all those pieces together that can really make that difference.
Yes. And I do know that sleep plays a part, definitely, because if I don't sleep very well, I will get at least a mild headache in the mornings. And it's just, yeah, because you didn't sleep. And then I know that will ruin like your cortisol, and then that'll make you make poor choices when it comes to food. Yes. And it's just like the whole cycle begins again.
Yes. No, I agree. Yeah, that's a good point, because then it's like hard to stay on when you're trying to make choices that are healthy and good for you and serving you. But what I find the most valuable when you're in this journey is, you know, often when people come to me, I have to say, okay, we're going to do this and this, and they are doing it because they're getting recommendations. But where the magic happens is when they're actually making the choices because they feel better. So when it switches from like, I'm doing this because I should, to I'm doing this because I see the difference, then it can be. And you know what? This is like another, I'm going to go off. These are nuances. So, you know, we might as well share. So even things like your water. So you need to stay hydrated. You need to stay hydrated at a cellular level. We need to drink water throughout the day rather than chug it all at once, and to really get it when it in the cells and uptake. Now, in order sometimes to do that, we do electrolytes, which are good because electrolytes help you be able to absorb water at a cellular level. So adding electrolyte into one of your glasses. Now, where it's tricky is then many electrolytes have citric acid, and some people have a problem with citric acid. So here you are thinking, okay, I need to stay hydrated. I'm using electrolytes and now I'm doing all the right things, but my electrolytes have citric acid. They're not looking at the label because you're thinking I'm buying electrolytes and here they have citric acid and you're triggering yourself. So it does get complicated.
Oh my gosh. I just read an article about citric acid and migraines like a week ago. And then I'm looking at all my stuff. I'm like, damn it. It's in the spices. It's in this. Oh,
yes.
Another thing.
Yes. That's where I think with anything that you're doing, you can, once you get into your safe zones, your patterns, then it's like, oh, okay, I know what I can do and what I can't do. And it feels like overwhelming to figure out. But once you figure it out, then you like know what to do. And that's why I do have, like I was mentioning, a group program that's a small group for this. And what it does is give you a clear roadmap. So I think when you're feeling like, okay, this is overwhelming, there's all these things, it's okay, here's exactly what you need to do. Here's the recipes that you can use. Here's safe. And some of that takes that overwhelm out because it does feel, we're also bombarded with a lot of information. So you can be on Instagram and get this from Dr. Google and get this. And then it's like, what do I even do here?
Yes. And I find almost all my female friends, they have chronic migraines and they just pop pills, over-the-counter pills. And they don't even think twice about it. They're just like, everybody has them. This is just what you do. And I'm like, it could be this. It could be this. And then they're like, whoa, that's too much.
Yes. They want to just pop the pill. And that the problem with that is that, and that's what we're being told to do. And then when you're doing that, like we talked about at the beginning, you're not considering all of the other long-term one, you're not solving your problem. So you're still having the inflammation and getting the migraines. And two, then you also do have to always consider side effects. And they're really, medications aren't without side effects. I think we all laugh it off when we see a commercial that it's, this is the best drug ever. And then the 3 minutes up, but it can do, like, you're just like, oh, okay. You know, that it can kill you, but it's a great medicine. So that's extreme, but it's, but they aren't without side effects. So doing that long-term causes other problems that can actually make your situation worse. And then you're just more and more dependent.
So what can people who are suffering from chronic headaches or migraines do while they're figuring out all the functional problems that could be going on just to deal with the pain now that's not going to set them back too much?
Yeah. So I think really sometimes some people, now you were saying you have some sensitivity with essential oils, but some people have a lot of success with peppermint, rosemary, essential oils, those, putting those on your temples, really putting like a cool cloth on your forehead, trying to go to a cool, dark place. I think taking a drink, getting a glass, as soon as you feel it come on, getting a glass of water. So you make sure that you're hydrated. The curcumin is a natural anti-inflammatory. So sometimes taking something like a curcumin, there is a supplement called leafy prana that has some ginger in it. So there's different things that you can do just when it comes on. But I would say, yes, start by taking, as soon as you find it happening, taking like a big glass of water, and then also removing yourself from triggers that are happening. Like if your light, sound, smell, try to remove yourself. Get to a place you can relax and then maybe try some essential oils, try a cool cloth, something like that, and maybe some curcumin.
Okay, this is what I do. It might be a little bit TMI.
Yeah, no, I'll good. Yes.
Okay, I will do a super strong tea of ginger.
Okay, the ginger's helpful.
And then I will take magnesium malate, but twice the dose.
Okay.
And then I will, okay, this is like, I will take like a glycerin suppository to try to like get everything out of my digestive system as fast as possible.
Okay, because you feel like you've had something that triggered you. Okay, so you're trying to get that pass through.
Yes, and then as soon as everything is emptied, it's fine. It's gone.
Okay. Yeah, so you are very sensitive to the foods. So that is showing. You're showing that, okay, yeah, you have the trigger that, yes. Yeah. And you feel like it's only histamines, or have you looked into some of the other, like the tyramine and the salicylates and the nitrates, things like that?
I've looked into them, but I haven't seen anything. It's, for me, it's like certain probiotics, huge migraines, okay. Certain foods, forget it. Can't get near that. But it's more like anything aged or fermented for me.
Yes. Yeah. And everyone's unique. So that's what it's like. Someone listening could be totally different and they could be fine with those, but it's a different set and it's a different combination. But it's really like figuring out that for you and then being able to get it in your life in a way that works.
Yes. And I'm always worried about people who just go to your conventional doctor and they're just given a prescription and then they never know what's going on.
No, and that's why they're living with it for their whole life, because you can often, it starts, our hormones change in puberty. So it often for people will start in puberty, but I didn't have it start. People come, I've had them since I was 6 years old. And then you also like another thing to look into is going back and like looking at your onset. It just happened like with someone I was working with that was like, okay, I've had them since I was six. She remembers when she got them, and we got back into it. And I was like, did you have any like tick bites? Was there something, like we were trying to go into what was going on in your life. And she said, we were camping and I actually did get a tick. And it can be Lyme is another reason that you can have chronic headaches. So mold toxicity, we didn't get too much into that, but did you move? And then that's when they started. So it's really figuring out there's a lot of different things that can go into it. But once you really start to dive into it and really find those underlying causes, then you can unwind them and find the ways to heal.
Yeah. One thing that's really sad is whenever my friends growing up, whenever their family would get a lot of money, the first thing that they would do is, we're going to do horseback riding. Okay. And then immediately I'm just like, please don't do horseback riding. Please don't do it. Please don't put your kids on a horse. You don't understand. And then they would get tick bites and then the Lyme would show up. And these are young kids. And I'd see them, like, sometimes they'd be balding or they'd be inflamed and from the tick bites. And I'm like, I hate to say it, but horseback riding is probably not the best thing.
Yes. Yeah, that is, I agree. Yeah, it is. It's unfortunate, and it's everywhere now. It's hard to avoid it. So it's something that you just have to be aware of in a factor, depending on what area you live. I live in Pennsylvania, and in our state, it's everywhere.
I think it's everywhere now because it wasn't always, I'm in South Florida. It wasn't always mm-hmm. here, but okay, now yeah. like it's come down here. Now my husband, he's seeing it more okay. in his practice too. So I'm just like,
yeah, it's something you have to consider, especially when you like with headaches is one of the, there's so many symptoms with Lyme, but headaches are one of the symptoms for sure that we see regularly. So when did this happen? Did this start all at once? Did it start at a certain point? Has it been going on forever? Is those things can play a role for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other one was hanging out at golf courses because of all the pesticides that they use.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And even think of your neighbors. You may not be spraying your lawn, but are your neighbors all spraying their lawns? And are you outside? Like you're saying with the golf courses, are you outside? Are you exposed to some of the chemicals that are in the air then? And so all of those things can play a role for sure.
Yeah. One thing is really funny, my mom would get these moving rashes, really painful rashes. And I'm like, you keep getting them. You're doing something. Are you putting chemicals or whatever? And she's, no, I'm not. And then I go over there and she is spraying chemicals in her yard on her little plants, and it's windy and it's getting on her. No. And I'm like, what did you think?
And she wasn't putting it together. She wasn't.
No, years go by. And then she finally stop doing that, and then they all magically went away.
Yeah, there's an easy solution. Sometimes though, it's hard to tell. Sometimes when people are in that mode, it's hard to make the change. So you can just do what you can to try to like, okay, mom, we can make a difference. But did she finally listen to you, or how did the change?
Yeah, she finally listened to me because I said, just don't do it for a month and see if it comes back, and it didn't come back. So she had to admit it.
Yeah. She's like, okay, you are correct.
Tell us a little bit about your group programs. How does that work and who's it good for?
Yeah. So I have a program called Headstrong. It's Headstrong Happiness Beyond Headaches. And what I do is I do it live with a small group right now. And we meet for 8 weeks and then we go through, there's different modules. So I developed a method called my EAT method. It's EAT. And we work in that method of enlighten, align, and thrive are the concepts behind that. So the first thing we do is we work on enlightening you of a lot of these things, but really diving deep into a lot of the triggers. So enlightening you and the triggers and where they could be coming from and for you individually, how they're. And then we work on aligning your body and we align your hormones. We balance your hormones. We really work on the cortisol and the adrenals and the circadian rhythm and all of that so that your body's back in balance. And then the last section is thrive. And that way we're really like digging deep and setting you up into be able to thrive moving forward. Because my goal is for you to see this decrease in incidence and severity of the migraine. So we need to set, and there's an educational component to it too, like where you can move on and refer back to if you need it, because life changes. We all have like things like bumps in the road that are like, okay, we're off track. We just need to get back there. So with that, I actually have a food sensitivity test and a hormone test, because those are generally, especially for women, big components of why. So we work through testing. So we use like education meetings, like group meetings, and then also the testing to really individualize it for people. So I have a group. I have the bandwidth to do it. I have a one-on-one practice too. So I just do it probably usually twice a year. So I have a group going right now, but we'll run it in February of 2023. Will be another group that starts.
So you do one-on-one as well?
I do. Well, yes. Yep. So I have a virtual functional medicine practice where I see people all over the world. It's really, I think COVID changed a lot of things, like in that there's a lot of unfortunate, but that was an aspect of people realized like, oh, okay, we all needed to be online. And so I moved my practice online and I actually see people all over the world in my functional medicine practice one-on-one too. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's so great, because a lot of times people don't have anyone who does functional medicine around them and they're just kind of stuck with who's ever in the area. So this is great that you're offering that. So that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And you really meet so many. I love it because I get to meet so many different people from all over the place. And we all want the same things. We all just want to feel great.
Let's say somebody wanted to do the conventional type of treatments, or maybe a supplement or a prescription just to deal with their migraines until they go through one of your programs or some other functional testing and programs. Are there any medications that are prescription that are not with horrible side effects or maybe lesser side effects? Or are there any supplements that you can take that some people feel are beneficial to preventing or lessening the amount of migraines?
Yeah, so I think something, so it's hard to say with medication because everyone kind of responds differently to medications. But I think you mentioned one of the supplements that is very helpful for people that have headaches and migraines is magnesium. So magnesium is often low. That is something that we see correlation where people are often low in magnesium, that not everyone, but we have a lot of topsoil erosion that is making magnesium more difficult to get in foods. So generally, there are a lot of people who are low in magnesium anyway, but there's also that correlation with the pains and headaches. So taking, I think that's one thing I would say, like if you're going to start one supplement to try to, or really just try to get more in your diet, things like pumpkin seeds actually have a lot of magnesium, to try to really boost that in your diet to see if that makes a difference, because that's something that can be helpful for a lot of people.
And what are your thoughts on parasites causing migraines? Does that happen?
It does. Yeah, I do clear parasites that I have seen people. I want to say a statement here that you don't want to just go out and do a parasite cleanse if you don't know if you have a parasite. So I have had people come to me and they're like, oh, I just finished a parasite cleanse. I'm like, well, do you know if you have one? And they're like, no, I just did it. And I'm like, really do. Because they're like everything else, if you're doing this cleanse, it's not specific always, and it can be knocking like good bacteria out of your system there. So you do want to get the testing, but I have had people that once we clear parasites, the migraines go away. And so there can definitely be a correlation.
Oh, that's interesting. When I did the stool test, I was asking, are there any markers or anything that show that I might have parasites? Because I'm like, that seems to be what everybody's talking about. It's got to be parasites. And they're like, no, absolutely none. Okay. And all the things you thought were parasites were not parasites. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're saying that dysbiosis, when you're seeing that bacterial overgrowth, it's not just parasites that are causing it. There are, like I was saying, there are certain bacteria that are histamine producing. So like with your strong correlation to histamines, you could have an overgrowth of those bacteria, and simply bringing those down can make a big difference in the way you feel.
Yeah. Which social media platforms are you most active? Do you post like any tips and tricks or anything?
Yeah, I'm over on Instagram. So I do a lot of posting on Instagram. That's where I hang out the most. I have a lot of information, so you can go. And I actually also just started my own podcast. I've been on a lot of podcasts. So I started, and it's called A Little Bit Healthier. And I just go on that podcast and give you tips that you can do every day just to be a little bit healthier. Not everyone can get to a functional medicine practitioner or can do that right now, but there's things you can always do just to be a little bit healthier. So that was the concept behind that.
And there's some trick online, I don't know what you think about it, where you put a cold pack on the back of your neck and put your feet in really hot water. Does that help with migraines?
I have not seen that proven. So I'm not, I can't speak to that. Just like last year, there was a trend to drink lemon in your coffee and that lose weight. And so, yeah. There was like, there's always these trends of, okay, try this and try, but I'm not saying it would hurt you, but I'm not, I haven't necessarily seen any proven effects.
Yeah, I did try it for one migraine, did nothing for
me. Yeah, yeah. Whatever works for some people think, hey, it works. And then it just gets the trend and starts going viral, right?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on coffee if you have migraines? Is it something that you can use as a tool when you have migraines, or should you avoid it because you could get caffeine withdrawal migraines?
Yeah, so caffeine's a little bit complicated. So caffeine. So sometimes people, when you're looking like an Excedrin, there's actually caffeine in it. So caffeine actually can be helpful for people that have migraines, but you can get rebound headaches and migraines from caffeine. So what you just have to be careful. I don't say no coffee. This is another pattern to look for. Like generally we have a similar pattern on weekdays. We maybe get up, we go to work, we have a cup of coffee at the same time. And maybe our pattern on our weekends is different. So if you're like, huh, my pattern, like every weekend I get my migraines on the weekend, or there's something different. Some of those patterns, you could be like, maybe you don't get up and have coffee at the same time. So you sleep in and you're actually getting a rebound headache from withdrawal. So if you definitely can get rebound headaches from withdrawal with caffeine. So, you know, you just don't want to overdo it with the caffeine. And you also want to pay attention to some of those patterns.
So if you're going to do it, you have to do it every day.
Yes. Yeah. Or not too much. I would say consistently and not overdoing it too is important.
Yes. Okay. And I do also find that a lot of people don't know, but sometimes when you take certain supplements, especially if you're in the functional medicine space, you might go, oh, this is a good supplement or that's a good supplement. And then if you take it too late at night, then you don't sleep. And then,
oh, yes.
Because of the lack of sleep, mm-hmm. you get a migraine.
Yes. So like a B vitamin would be an example. Like some vitamins are supplements are energizing, especially things when we're looking at like even different adaptogens and the way they work, like an L-theanine is calming. You can have things that are stimulating. And so you do, yes, you can. That is hard because you just go and you buy it and you hear someone say, that's a good recommendation. And then you go purchase it and it's okay. Yeah, but you need to be able to use it in the way that it's intended at the right time of day to get the most effect. Yes. And you definitely want to get your sleep. So that's a good point.
Yes, because I wasn't sleeping like the last week, and it was because I was taking an adrenal formula, but I was taking it too late.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then like, I can't sleep at all.
Yes.
And because my husband does functional medicine, but I don't listen to him. And he's like,
oh, no.
Family is the worst to treat in the world.
Yeah, I get that. Yes. Not non-compliance, right?
Yes. Because in the beginning, so he was like, here's 50 supplements. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. Because for a patient, he would go and sit down. This is why. But for me, he's just take it. Just trust me.
I want to know. Yeah. You want to know why you're taking it, what you're taking it for, you know, set you up with the right. But yes, you need to. Yes, you definitely need to watch, especially with, that's what I would say with those adrenals. Because, you know, there's some that are calming and meant for the evening. And then you don't want to be taking right in the morning. And then there's some that are actually stimulating, which is what you were probably taking something with a licorice or something in there that is stimulating, and then you're not sleeping at night. So it's, yes, follow, get someone to help you, basically. Get someone to give you the path. And that's what I think, like just getting an appointment with someone that can say, do that. I think that's where it gets to be overwhelming. It's like trying everything. And it's like, if you can find someone that you trust to say, this is what you need to do, just follow this plan, like I'm giving or like your husband's giving to people. And then they know exactly, okay, this is my plan. I just can do that. And then we worked. If your plan's not working in your life, we work to change it to make it optimal for what you need, but to get in your life. Because that's the other thing. What you're saying, anybody could give you any recommendation. But I think another key factor is you have to be able to do it in your life, and it has to work for you, or you're not going to do it. And if you don't do it, just the same as not having it. So I think that's just another thing to make it reasonable for what you can actually handle.
Yeah, and I am one of those people that's very stubborn. When you give me something, I'm like, no, I don't think that's right. I'm going to research it. And then like, I will research it 2 months later and come back to him. Oh, I want this. And he's, that's the one I gave you. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I just had to find out for myself.
Yes, which is good. And you're empowered.
Or stubborn.
Yes.
Whatever.
You can look at it
anyways. So is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with before we have to go?
I think just knowing that there is, if you are someone that suffers from headaches and migraines and you've been dealing with your whole life and you feel like you're just stuck, that there is hope. So I see every day that people are able to really see this change, make changes in their life that really decrease both incidence and severity dramatically. One of my favorite quotes is you just don't wake up wondering if it's going to be a headache day. It's just not a factor in your life. So just having that hope and really knowing there's something you can do about it.
Yeah, that's so important. Thank you so much for your time and being with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
I had an episode a while back with Dr. Mona Fahoum of Feminescence, and we spoke about Feminescence, Maca Harmony, and their Maca products. And if you're a woman who's ever had hormonal imbalances, if you're trying to come off the birth control pill, or even if you're going through menopause, this is a natural way to help ease that transition and to help balance your hormones. There's nothing quite like it, so go to feminescence.com, enter code KAT15, KAT15, for 15% off any of their single pack products, and definitely go check out the episode. Just search for Mona Fahoum on my podcast and listen. You won't regret it. Thank you for listening to the episode. If you made it this far, I'm sure you found some benefit to the hard work that I put into the show. Show your support by subscribing to the podcast, leave me a voicemail question, or email me at thehealthfulgypsy@gmail.com. I would love, love, love to hear from you. Be sure to join the Facebook group. You can find all that information in the show notes and my website, katkatibi.com. This podcast is for informational merrymakings and metaphysical purposes only. Statements and views are not medical advice. This podcast, including KatKatibi, disclaim any adverse effects by the use of information you may have heard. Opinions of guests are totally their own. This podcast does not endorse statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications, credibilities, or sanity. Individuals may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to on the podcast. If you think you have a medical problem, consult with a licensed medical physician, not just the spirit of your ancestors while on ayahuasca.